little coconut soup, maybe a couple of summer rolls, and a Thai salad. I kicked them in the balls and got the hell out of there. Asian chicken salad, please. And it's got some crispy noodles in it.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Ira Kaufman, on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
I'm raring to go, Steve.
He's raring to go. He's sporting his 6-0 record in his picks, and we'll be making more picks today. Lee D. Kemper's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. And Bill Curry Ford, Ira, incredible lease deals. There's so many of them. You got to go to BillCurryFord.com. I'm sitting here looking at a beautiful Escape, just like your 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape, except this one is a 2025, $389 a month, zero due at signing. There's so many great lease deals. Get the Bronco that everybody wants on a lease.
I was at the dealership today, Steve. It's looking great. Business is good at Bill Curry Ford, and it should be.
A mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, they've got 0% interest financing, zero money down, no payments till next year, 2026. How about that? Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, host of the Best in Class podcast. Hope you're listening to that. It was a hell of a one last week. I can't wait to listen to the new one.
And unrivaled service. Unrivaled.
And Sean's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. Just ask him for it. That's what you got to do. Reach out to him through the website. Don't worry. Drive Curry, Bill Curry Ford, 65 years, family owned, serving the Tampa Bay area. Can't beat that. 680 plus vehicles in stock. Get over there before these deals end.
I was in kindergarten with Miss Frazier when this thing started.
Now, is Miss Frazier first grade or kindergarten? People pay attention to this stuff.
I think Frazier, Miss Gentile was, I think, first grade. Miss Gentile.
All right.
I had a crush on her. 6 years old. I thought about her when I went to sleep.
Sad
now,
news.
Now I think about a calzone.
Sad news I just read.
Uh-oh.
Ace Frehley died.
I saw that. I did see that. Yeah, guitarist extraordinaire.
Urban legend is Eddie Van Halen played some of his quote-unquote guitar pieces for Kiss. Allegedly. That's urban legend. No one's ever proven that.
Kiss rock legend, Ace Frehley, and no more. All right. Sage, sad note. Well, let's just end the podcast right there.
No. Bucks are the best team in the league, so says
BSB. Bucks are very much alive, Steve. Ace Frehley.
I'm joking, Ira.
Ace Frehley's taking a dirt nap, and the Bucks are very much alive.
Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk about them later, but remember the name, Florida's Elite Restoration. 5-star Google reviews. Any disaster in your home, you got to call them immediately. Get to their website, floridaselite.restoration.com. All right, Ira.
I think you got to start with what I ate at Panera Bread tonight. I mean, it's a revelation.
Go ahead.
Went up to the counter. Asian chicken salad, please. A whole or a half? Half. What are you drinking? Water. That comes with a baguette. I don't even know how to spell that. Chips or an apple. I said, what kind of apple? I don't know. A red apple. Now, I don't like delicious apples. I like Macintosh, but I didn't care. I said, give me the apple, and as Lee will attest, a little salad and an apple. I'm going to weigh myself in the morning, and I want to be nice and pleased
now,
by the result.
What makes it an Asian salad? Does that mean one of Bob Kraft's paramours prepared it?
I think it's the dressing, and it's got some crispy noodles in it. So there you go.
All right, Sage, good. Good job, Ira. Congratulations on your salad.
Thank you, sir. By the way, did you enjoy some of those quotes that I came up with, including Robert Sala, which I held for 4 days? And by the way, I didn't write it down, but the last thing that Sala said to me after raving about Baker Mayfield, like, I don't know how the hell he got out of that run and this and that.
So what did you
do? You have Liam Cohn's number?
Did you corner him after the loss? Was that
I followed him out into the corridor,
wow,
to the bus.
Nice. I
yeah,
was wondering
the PR
where
guy
got...
didn't even see me.
Let me guess. He asked you for Liam Cohn's number.
He didn't? That's a good one. The last thing he said... Talking about the Bucks, are they legit, blah, blah, blah. Quote, Todd Bowles is doing one hell of a job with football team. That's what Robert Sala
he
said.
He is, of course.
And I think he's a candidate for coach of the year at this point.
I think you answered my question. I was going to ask you, is this his best coaching job since taking over the Bucks?
5-1. It's his best by far.
Given all the injuries and everything?
Exactly.
Now, there's other coaching guys, the Indy guy.
Yes.
And Vrabel's doing a hell of a job in Foxborough. Yeah. There's other guys.
I understand.
Bowles is in the conversation.
But nobody votes for coach of the year in week 7. So that, you know, it's fun, though. It's fun as hell. It's like all the Baker Mayfield chatter. But Ira, I would be remiss. I've mentioned this before. Longtime listeners will remember it. But the famous Ira Robert Sala story is when Ira and I were in Phoenix at the
Arizona Biltmore. That's right.
At the coach's breakfast. And AFC was first. NFC was second.
Then he took his breakfast outside. He was all by himself. Steve.
Salah's coaching the Jets. Ira and I are mingling with the coaches. Salah sits down off the buffet, has his breakfast. Ira grabs a plate, 10 pieces of sausage. Who knows what he had on there?
And an apple.
And he's like, he says to me, "Follow me." And he says, "Bobby, we're sitting with you."
Yeah, Bobby. He don't know. He don't
nobody
know
calls the guy Bobby. Yeah, Bobby. And then we had breakfast with Robert Salah.
And then I told him that it was an excellent pickup, picking up the safety, right?
Whitehead.
We were he's really good. He's really good. Two years later, they dumped him.
He was telling us about that the Bucs weren't letting Whitehead do certain things that he thought he could do, that he could maximize. And was talking about the film and stuff. So anyway, we're going to have breakfast.
Did I call him Bobby or Robert?
We called him Bobby.
Oh, and Lee. He did enough with the Jets, Whitehead, that the Bucs wanted him back again.
Exactly.
But it didn't work out the second time around.
Does anybody refer to him in person as Mr. Clean?
No, but they could. But they could.
They certainly could.
I think he remembered me, Steve. When I grabbed him, I stopped him in mid-stride.
Hi, Bobby.
And I think I said, "Robert." This time I said, "Hey, Robert." He turned around, and he might have remembered how many sausages I had on that plate because he came back and gave me 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was very, very, very impressive that he did that. I know fans don't necessarily realize
and
that.
And this is after a loss.
But after a loss, and these teams are hustling to get to the airport to get to their charter, and he's talking to Ira, who, you know, is not exactly, you know,
next-door neighbor.
Well, we'll leave it at that. All right. So two things since you mentioned food, Ira, and your weight loss journey. So Jamel Dean, he jumped on the Salty Dogs podcast, which is an in-house thing the Buccaneers have. And
who are the Salty Dogs?
Scott Smith and Jeff Ryan.
That's app names for them, yeah. Salty Dogs.
Yeah, exactly. And for some reason, their podcast, most recent podcast, was an hour and 47 minutes.
Oh,
come on, guys. Who's listening to that?
Come on now.
But anyway, Jamel Dean appeared with them for a short time, 10 minutes or so. And Dean explained to them, now this is the reigning NFC Defensive Player of the Week, a guy who just did a public interview, you know, congratulating him and all that, did a press conference.
He's already got two picks.
And when you think of Dean as a guy you meet physically, what do you think of Dean?
Taller than you think.
I'd say maybe chiseled.
Chiseled, exactly.
Ooh. I'd say chiseled.
Well, Dean explains to the Salty Dogs, they asked him what's different this year. He basically says, "I realized I was too fat."
Where's the training staff? Where's the staff?
Well, I was like, what?
You're supposed to have a certain weight, Lee.
Well, have you ever seen him and you thought fat? Never.
No, the guy's ripped.
Yeah.
And he running 4.3 speed at 6'1", and nobody ever disputed that he had lost a step.
He said he was heavy.
Dean said he was looking things to do this offseason. He's like, well, maybe I'll put in a little extra work on my body. But the key being extra.
Did he give you the numbers?
Yes. He explained that every year, you know, he comes into training camp, they give him this scan, body fat scan or whatever. I'm sure it's the high-level kind. And he was ticking up each year. He came in out of college 10 to 11% body fat, which is ripped. And every year he said he was ticking up a little bit. So he's a seventh-year guy.
I also had 11% body fat. I was 9 years old.
So, but, you know, he felt good, whatever. Anyway, Dean said, after the 2024 season, he did his body fat again. He hit 14%, which is still great shape. But he was like, well, crap, maybe I should do a cleanse and focus on that.
So a colon cleanse?
He called it a 21-day cleanse. And he went through this. He didn't say it exactly, but he implied that he got his body fat down back to 10, 11%.
Do you have any details on the cleanse? I might be interested.
Well, you can ask him. You can ask him.
Did he say anything about his weight?
What he said was that he got his body mass down, and he says, quote, "I feel great now. I feel like movements are easier now, and there's less strain on my joints."
What kind of movement?
So
I'll say this. He's playing very well.
I thought that was fascinating, and we've all seen the next-gen stats that say he's like the best cornerback in the NFL. So
I chalk it all up to him listening to this podcast and me ripping him a new one, Lee. That's got to be part of it.
So I thought that was really interesting because, like Lee said, the guys or somebody said chiseled. He strikes his fit. But you might wonder also, like you said, Ira, maybe last year if he was 13 body fat, maybe the Bucs training staff would have said, hey, let's get you down back to where you were out of college. I don't know.
Yeah. Anything to make him a ball hawk, Lee, which he's more of now than he's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
That pick last week?
That was impressive. the way he described it, and he was saying he was in a zone, and he was saying he was protecting the first down. I think it was fourth and five. It was short. Anyway, he's protecting the first down. And he said, then Mac Jones held it. And he thought to himself, well, he's going to throw longer because he was holding it. You know, you hold the ball longer, partially because you want these guys to get open. And he's like, oh, he's going to throw. He's not throwing it the first down sticks. He's throwing longer. So he faded back to try to, you know, protect behind him because he thought he was going to throw behind him. Exactly what happened.
Maybe this new diet helped his mind, too, Steve. Sounds like he's thinking the game better.
I don't know. So Todd Bowles today was asked about Dean and why he's playing better, playing some of his best ball ever. And Bowles says, quote, I mean, it clicks. It takes a few years to get it all down and become a seasoned vet. I heard that, Ira. I know maybe it's just me, but I was like, what kind of nonsense is this? The guy's a seventh-year player in his seventh year in a defense. Dean is a smart guy. It's not like he has mental issues or something. I've heard him talk about how he loved math, how he loved studying math. He owns a business.
Well, it took me 7 years to learn how to write a sentence, Lee. You know, seven years in the business. I'm with Steve. I mean, I'm surprised Steve didn't turn off his tape recorder and throw it out the window. That's something you hear about a second-year pro. I mean, maybe Parrish will say it next year. You know, I figured things out. Whatever the reason, Steve, I'll say this. He's turned it around, and I got nothing bad to say about this guy after killing him.
I'm just playing.
And you said he's the best buck corner, and I even argued with you on that, and now I can't.
I'm sort of playing devil's advocate here, trying to figure out what Bowles meant by that. Maybe, as Steve talked about, you know, Dean went through this physical renaissance, and maybe that's what Bowles was talking about. The guy started in a Super Bowl, one of the great defensive games we've ever seen. And just now, and 4 years later, he's learning?
And at least, to Steve's point, he's playing in the same system since Bowles got
yeah,
here.
So I'm yeah. guessing Bowles referencing Dean's physical makeover, because that makes no sense.
It was just strange. I did the math entering this season. Before the season, he had played 92 games, and it would be the equivalent. I tried to think about it a little more. Be the equivalent of next year. Bowles coming out saying, well, Antoine's just starting to get it now. You know, it just wouldn't make sense. I'm not sure where Bowles was going. Maybe he was kind of covering for him. But maybe some of it's true. Maybe in a weird way, Dean has matured to a new level, kind of like Mayfield at 29. And if that's the case, it's going to be wild finishing this year.
And the best news of all is he's stayed yeah. relatively healthy.
Yeah. For him, yeah.
With everybody else falling by the wayside.
Yeah.
That's been critical.
So I think we need to take a moment to applaud Lee again for telling the world over and over he's the Bucs' best cornerback, and a bunch of people calling Lee a moron.
In a lot of ways, Lee's been on a roll this year. You know, you got the Egbuka angle, you know.
Well, notice I didn't say he was an all-pro.
No, no.
Or even a pro bowler.
No,
I just thought he was
now,
their best
corner.
Wait
a minute. I have an all-pro vote. He might be in the conversation.
Crazy stuff, Iris. So, the hype. I want to bring this up because, you know, we have different insight than fans do. I'll speak for myself. I'm a fan. I know Lee's a fan. But being in the media, we have different perspective. Now, I want you, Ira, to explain to the fans how many national interviews Todd Bowles, Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, all these guys are turning down because they don't want to feed the hype, and they're just saying, no, that's not what we're about.
I'll answer it very simply. For every one that they do, they turn down 10. The Bucs are the story right now of the National Football League in a lot of ways.
It's got to be 20 or more.
Yeah.
I mean, Mayfield's not doing any interviews, and everybody wants him. You know he's getting text left and
Light's
right.
Light's not doing anything.
Light's in the bunker.
Light's Bowles, hiding.
Yeah, Bowles isn't doing much.
Bowles is in the bunker.
Mayfield's not doing McAfee or Kay Adams or anything.
Their eyes on the prize, Lee. Their eyes on January.
Rashad White, didn't he do Bussing with the Boys? He did somebody.
It was the Golic and Golic
The Golics, show. Yes, the Golics.
And Mayfield, 3 weeks ago, the last thing he did was 3 weeks ago, ironically, I don't know if it's ironic, but it's notable. He did Mark Sanchez's podcast.
You don't think Schefter's podcast wants Baker Mayfield?
Well, especially as Lee's noted, a Monday Night Football's coming up. ESPN's dying to have these guys on something extended.
I'm going on VSIN Monday.
VSIN, baby.
VSIN next VSIN. Monday?
Yeah, they want to.
Oh, before the game?
Yeah, before the game. What are they going to throw? Prop bets to me, Lee? Bets? They probably want to know about injuries. What do you know about this guy?
Yeah.
What do you know about this guy? But you're right, Steve. They're in the bunker. And you know what? That's a good thing.
You go on VSIN about once a month? They love you.
Yeah, they do love me. And the doggy's still ragging on Mayfield. Hey, he hasn't done it in the playoffs yet. He hasn't done it in the playoffs. You know what? I hope he wins a couple of playoff games so I can shut the doggy up.
And, of course, you're referring to your Wednesday appearance on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio with Chris Mad Dog Russo, famous Ira there. All right.
And he agreed with me that Mayfield is the, quote, runaway MVP of the league. Now, as Steve says, we're in week 7. Take it easy.
I think it's fair to say, as crazy as it is, if the Bucks lose Monday in Detroit and they sort of have a ho-hum, got the job done game against the Saints and win and go to the bye, no one in the league is going to be talking about Mayfield.
I agree.
He'll fade away from the national spotlight.
I agree.
He'll have to have another
fourth quarter comeback.
Big game.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not sure they win in New Orleans if Mayfield doesn't play well.
You're that high on you and Sean Sullivan.
No, I'm not that high, but I don't think this Mayfield hype's going to go away as long as the Bucks have a good record. I don't think it's going to go away.
No.
And 6-2 at the break, I'm very happy with that.
Oh, my gosh. You'd tell it to any Bucks fan back in July, they'd fall to their knees.
But if Jared Goff carves up the Bucks and they lose,
well,
you know, let's
say talk will be about the Buck defense.
No, I'm saying Jared Goff all of a sudden is going to be back in the MVP conversation relatively.
Well, but you got to remember the way Mayfield was doing it those first 4 weeks. That it resonates.
Yes. Forget quickly. My point is they forget quickly. Yeah.
That 3rd-and-14 run, people are going to remember that. That's a standout play. And as Robert Saleh said to me Sunday night, I don't know how the hell he got out of that.
Him and a lot of people.
And he's the guy that was trying the guys to tackle him.
If you ever watch that replay again, Ira, look on the sidelines. I didn't look up the guy's name, but number 25 for San Francisco. You always talk about how those runs demoralize people. This guy did a face palm, just head through his hands. Like,
probably a defensive back.
But he was on the sidelines, face palm.
Yeah. You got everybody covered. 3rd-and-14, Steve. Everybody's covered.
All right. Sage, you were at $1 Thursday. Tell me what you saw that was interesting, but also Zion McCollum, Benjamin Morrison back full go at practice, which is huge. And Mr. Mike Evans on the field, limited, but I have a feeling that maybe he wouldn't even be trying to practice if he wasn't targeting Monday.
Lee, I'll say this. I would be surprised if Morrison, Dean, and McCollum are all a go on Monday night. You're going to see McCollum in the game. You're going to see him.
Morrison.
Yeah. You're going to see Morrison. I think he's going to get 20, 25 snaps.
Really?
And I don't know if you guys agree, but I thought he was flashing some things before he got hurt.
He's making headway, but he's missed so much time. Not just recently, but in training camp, he's missed so much time.
But McCollum's not having a knockout season, Lee.
No, he's not. He's not. And FYI, Ira, about McCollum, he said his injury looks a lot worse than what it is because he's walking around in a sling and it's a thumb injury. And he said that was a precautionary measure to help it heal quicker. He said it looks bad.
They better have all the corners they can grab because this St. Brown is a menace. He's a menace. Of course, he's on my fantasy team, but he's got 6 touchdowns so far.
Well, if Morrison and McCollum can go, they've got the entire secondary intact.
Yeah.
Safeties are healthy.
Linebackers are healthy.
Parrish is healthy.
Do we need, you know, aside from Kancey, that's the whole starting defense.
So, by the way,
Parrish goes back to strictly nickel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us touched upon this in our last podcast. Did you see Tyke Smith squaring up with Trent Williams?
On a blitz?
No, they were getting in a fight.
Like it.
Yeah, I mean, he got his ass kicked, but you like the gumption. Like, he wasn't backing down Trent Williams.
That's a good one, Lee. Gumption. It's a good one.
That's like when you wrestled Gary Shelton.
I kicked him in the balls and got the hell out of there.
What was that for?
That's
the sausages?
That's a Brooklyn move.
I think we'll open
he stole one of my leads for one of his columns.
I think we'll open the podcast with that. FloridasElitereStoration.com. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Ira, you have to know what the hell you're doing when you have a water damage flood situation in your house. You got to know what to do.
And it doesn't take a hurricane. It can happen any day.
No, it happens all the time. Pipes break. A lot of homes are old. It just happens. Not everybody has fancy piping and all this stuff. And, of course, those have issues, too. You got to know who to call. Mold is a killer. You need a licensed mold remediation specialist. You need to jump on this stuff and understand how insurance is going to help you or not help you. You need a seasoned professional like Florida's Elite Restoration to come out, give you a free evaluation with all the greatest technology and help guide you. And if you need them after your free evaluation, you get $500 back if you mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. They're the best. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Owner Josh Martin, great guy, big Bucks fan. 5-star Google reviews across the board. It's unheard of. You got any mold, Ira?
I don't have any mold, but I got a new song I'm working on the guitar.
A new song?
I got a new song. You ready? This one's tricky. It's trickier than Midnight Special. Brown-Eyed Girl, Van Morrison. Watch out. I'm working on it. That's the next video I'm sending you.
All right. We're going to get a good audio recording one of these days and open the podcast with one of your songs.
What if I do a live show or something? I'm on there with a band. Are you going to show up?
Well, if anybody...
You're going to bring Davis the photographer with you?
Here's what I'll do just for now, just to prove that you are a rock star, Ira. I will throw it out there. If anybody wants to pay Ira $250 to perform at their tailgate one song and hang out for a while at a Bucks game, he'll do it. For $250.
I need an amp and I need power. And there you go.
No problem. I've actually got a portable.
I got my Les Paul.
I've got a portable generator you can take
out.
Look
at you. There. Outstanding.
Solar powered.
Let's talk about this game a little bit, Steve.
Well, we got to talk about this game. Let's go to Lee. He's on a roll. What are you liking or thinking about this game right now? You don't have to give a prediction, Lee. Just what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is these injuries catch up with the Bucks. Detroit's going to come in, to quote Vince Lombardi, in an angry mood. They got hosed out of the game. You heard about this, Ira, but Dan Campbell said that they called that illegal motion on the Lions, took away a touchdown. You can't review illegal motion.
That was the touchdown that Jared Goff caught.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You cannot review illegal motion, yet New York ordered him to.
I can just hear Mad Dog Russo saying the Chiefs get every damn call.
Well, that just screams throwing a game.
Whoa.
Think about it. If New York orders them to pull the touchdown off because of illegal motion, and illegal motion is not a reviewable play, how do you do that?
Somebody's in trouble.
Somebody ought to be in trouble. And that just, to me, reinforces the issue. The ACC does it. I think the Big 12 does it, where they have a live camera and mic in the control center when people are making the decisions. Be an open book. There's another cliche, but... The NFL's in bed with all these sports books, and pulling stuff like that's fishy as hell.
What don't you like about this matchup? What don't you like?
Injuries. I mean, I know Detroit's got a bunch of injuries, and it's going to help out, no question. And Brian Branch is suspended. But when you lose your top four receivers, unless you're telling me that, you know, Jason Light got a second-round pick in the seventh round, unless you're telling me Cam Johnson, who no one expected to be on the 53-man roster, is some pro bowler in waiting, unless you're telling me Sterling Shepard gets younger by 5 years.
What about Evans, Lee? What about Evans?
Well, that's going to help, but still, I mean, just I'm worried that Detroit's going to be PO'd because they lost and how they lost. And they're going to take it out on the Bucks. I fear they're going to run the score up on the Bucks. They got a healthy offense. They've got a dangerous offense. And these guys are not number 4, 5, 6, and 7 receivers.
Now, the Bucks haven't done badly against that team, Lee.
No, they've done okay with them. I just, these injuries spook me. I think you got to figure it's going to catch up with them sooner or later. And to be honest with you, I'd rather have them catch up against the Lions than catch up against the Saints.
You know, Steve, hate to say this on a podcast, I kind of agree with everything Lee just said.
And no Bucky, by the way.
I'm kind of feeling the same way. I don't like this matchup. I don't like the timing of this matchup. I think the injuries are going to catch up. Maybe I'm wrong. 6-1 sounds great. But I don't like the vibe going into this game. What about you?
What do you mean you don't like the vibe? What do you mean? You just think injuries are going to catch up and that's the vibe? Is that what you're saying?
I think if Detroit was coming off a win against Kansas City, I think they could have had a letdown. Now there ain't going to be no letdown in Motown. Those fans are animals. The Bucks have matched up well with Detroit.
They
but
have.
That was a healthy Bucks team,
yes,
for the most part. I think Aiden Hutchinson is rubbing his hands together. He can't wait to get a piece of Charlie Heck.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes off the left side anyway, I think, for most of the time.
Yes.
I think they're going to have to give Heck help.
Yeah.
That could minimize Otten as a downfield receiver. As it did the first month of the season.
Because he's got to stay back and block.
You know, at some point the injuries catch up with you, Steve. So I want you to tell Lee and I that we're wrong and that you think the Bucks are a very viable underdog.
Well, I do. I do think they're a very viable underdog, mainly because the quarterback is sizzling hot. I can't pretend that he's not. That he's doing everything right, and I don't know why that should all of a sudden change. The Detroit does not have a great defense. They do not. If you watch that Detroit Bengals game 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Jake Browning was throwing the ball all over the park.
And the Chiefs went up and down the field.
Chiefs move the ball. They don't have a great defense. Not a terrible defense, but it's not a great defense. And the reason the Bucs have had success against Detroit relatively speaking, is because they can hang with Detroit in the trenches. And Detroit doesn't have the O-line it used to. They don't have the defensive line they used to. So for me, what's exciting is Mike Evans coming back, because it just changes everything. Because there's no way. I'd agree with the blowout assessment if Evans wasn't on the field, because there's no way
Johnson,
those guys can handle being double-teamed and all the attention that they would get. The Bucs would be plodding away. I think it would be ugly. But if Evans is on the field, I think the Bucs win. I really do. I think they got enough. This is not a 15-win Lions team that we saw last year.
But I think it's is a game where, like, I think without Bucky Irving, I think that it's really going to hurt them in this game. They need some big plays.
I don't disagree with that, but I will say Rashad White's had a hell of a year in limited play.
But he doesn't give you that
no, not a home run hitter.
Run potential, yeah. You know, 72-yard catch potential. White's doing a credible job.
The Bucs defense is healthy, and Jared Goff's had some challenges with it. You know, look, Jalen Hurts played well in the first half against the Bucs. Did not. He's historically had trouble with the Bucs.
Now Goff's had some big games against the Bucs too. Remember with the Rams? Didn't he complete like 40 passes for 500 yards?
Well, that was
yards?
That huge crazy game with James.
Yeah, that was the crazy game. Yeah,
I'm just talking with the Lions.
You got to pressure Goff. He's very effective when he's unbothered. Mm-hmm. He's very effective, but he doesn't move well. He doesn't move as well as Mayfield does.
Oh, no,
not
even close. Yeah.
Not even close.
Well, we got more to get to, but you know what? I'll just throw it out there. I'm going to say Bucs 24, Lions 21.
I'm going to say...
I'm 5-1. You got that 6-0, Roddy.
I'm going to say Bucs 17, Lions 30. Lions 30. That's my pick, 30-17.
So you'll be two ahead of me if you win, Sage. And Lee's at... Lee's at 4-2, so he can pick up ground.
And I think Lee's going with the Lions, I think.
Yeah.
Score?
26-20, Lions.
Tight.
Oh, tight game.
I think the Bucs score late.
Can you imagine if the Bucs win this game, Steve?
Well, they're playing great ball. They are playing great. Now, guys, what do you think now of Atlanta being 3-2? Does that change the way you view that win against them on the road?
I got to give Raheem a little credit bouncing back from that fiasco against the Panthers. That's a fiasco. 30. Can you imagine what Arthur Blank was thinking? 30-0?
Can he still think?
To Carolina? Yeah. That was an impressive win against Buffalo. I mean, say what you want against
the
Bills.
They beat the crap out of them.
Yeah. They're one of the better teams in the league, Buffalo. Say what you want.
Let this be an example of how a woman can ruin your career. Josh Allen's girlfriend. Oh, there's more things in life than football now.
This Jeff Ulbrich is doing a hell of a job with the Atlanta defense. New coordinator. Doing a hell of a job. I got something for you guys. If the Bucs pull this one off, mm-hmm. I don't think they will. But if they do, they're 6-1 going to New Orleans. Are you very, very conservative at that point with some of these injured guys and say, to hell with it, we'll wait till after the bye week? Or do you say, if they're cleared to play, you got to play Bucky Irving, you got to play Igbuka, you got to play him? How would you do it?
If the Bucs beat the Lions?
If the Bucs beat the Lions.
Anybody that's remotely gimpy, you got the night off. You got a 2-week vacation.
Steve, is that dangerous?
I go the other way. You got to roll the Saints, and then
you get your week off.
And then you get your week off, and if you need another one, okay. But, man, that's a division. That game becomes
like... you're not worried about the Saints. I mean...
Why not? They played a lot of teams close all year.
How many wins they got?
They got one win, but they played tight games.
None of the NFC South teams...
I mean, you're not worried about them catching you. That's what I'm
no, saying. But
none of the NFC South teams make me sit up straight.
But it is a short week, right? So the statistics show that's a tough.
That's a tough week.
Tough W on the road, back to back road games on a short week. It's usually a recipe for bad things, and it's a division game. You got to have that win, then they can go into the bye. I mean, they got New England coming out of the bye at home. I don't know, Ira. You gotta win those key games. Just the Saints, as long as we're looking ahead, which I guess we probably shouldn't. But yeah, they're 1-5. And,
that's rat poison, Steve. That's rat poison. You looking ahead. Rat poison.
They've only been blown out once to Seattle. Now, Buffalo beat them by 12, but that game was very close late.
You shouldn't lose to Spencer Rattler, Steve.
No, there's no way they should lose. You know, they've played tight, so I got to think that's going to keep going.
I wouldn't be surprised, Steve, if the Saints have a little rummage sale in the next couple of weeks. They might have some players like Chris Olave. You know, the other receiver, the speedy guy that teams might want.
Yep. But that won't happen by the time – shouldn't happen by when the Bucs play them this month. Ira, do you just believe in the Bucs at 5-1? The reason I say this is because all the injuries, we know all about them. but they've beaten four teams with winning records. Now, in past years, we've looked at the Bucks and said, well, they didn't beat anybody, or, yeah, they're, you know, they're this record, but who have they beaten? Now they've beaten four all NFC teams with winning records.
I'm glad they got Atlanta early, Lee, because their defense hadn't gelled yet until maybe after the Carolina
debacle. Nor had their offensive line.
But you're right, Steve. In years past, the refrain was, they ain't beating nobody. They ain't beating anybody. I don't think you can say that this year. And the Philly game, they lost, and they deserved to lose. But, Lee, they weren't ready to play that game in the beginning. I'm not excusing it, but they weren't ready to play. But they showed fight.
Yeah.
But in that game, they showed fight. And the Niners are not a bad team. They're not a bad team.
No, I mean, they had one loss coming in.
They had just beaten the Rams, right?
Yeah. And had rest.
Now, Detroit's run defense, solid, not great. You think the Bucs were able to run the ball up there? Do you think losing Haggard, the backup right guard, who was playing well, and now there looks like Elijah Klein might be starting at right guard.
Is Jordan not ready? There's no chance that Jordan's ready?
Well, there's a chance, I guess. Apparently he's practicing. But
yes.
He practiced a little last week, too.
I'm a little worried about Klein, Lee. I'm a little worried
Well,
about
I can tell you, if it was either the first or second play after Haggard left, Klein got lit up. I mean, destroyed.
Steve, and if they had that much confidence in Klein, he would have been playing ahead of Haggard.
Yes, of course.
Well, let's not forget that, Steve. Let's not forget that.
Now,
but, you know, you can compensate for so-so guard play.
Now, real quick, just to remind some people, because they, you know, like, how come you guys don't have any information on Michael Jordan? Well, Michael Jordan's still technically on the practice squad. And when a player is either on the practice squad or on injured reserve, team doesn't have to release any information on him. In other words, if a guy's not on the active roster, which Jordan is not, the team doesn't have to say one word about him. So that's one reason why you never hear anybody talk about.
Are you Boyd, B-U-O?
Buoyed?
Yeah, are you buoyed by Servassier Dennis's improved play last week, or you still think he's got a ways to go?
He's got a lot to prove.
Pretty much what I think.
Rondé Barber gave him a C-. He graded all the players on his show, and I think he was being a little bit generous, but he did have this funny line.
That's not a good grade.
No, that was the worst grade he gave on defense.
I bring a C-minus home to my parents.
You get spanked?
You know, in 1968, I get sent to my room with no TV dinner.
Rondé Barber said he's the one the teacher is going up to, maybe calling his parents saying, hey, your guy's trying hard and needs to do a little bit better.
Whoa.
He's barely passing, but he's getting better.
I thought he may have had his best game. He was spying McCaffrey. McCaffrey didn't get hardly any yak yards.
You're right.
He played great up in Detroit last year.
Yes.
Dennis.
Yes.
And maybe that inspires him. You know, he should be up there with a lot of confidence. And what I like about it is
Maybe he likes the artificial turf, too.
Maybe he's a little quicker. Yeah.
Maybe he's a little quicker.
Supposed to be a speed guy. That could be. I worry about Lavonte David on the turf.
Uh-huh.
Trying to chase, God forbid, Jahmyr Gibbs gets free. David doesn't seem to have the juice. This year, he is a little banged up. Charlie Hecht versus Aiden Hutchinson will be interesting. I don't know.
Because Johnson keeps up this contribution. Maybe a deep ball to Tez Johnson.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I don't want to get on a soapbox and get people mad.
Soapbox. We should have that as a segment for the podcast. Soapbox with Lee Deegan.
This drives Steve nuts when the combine comes around. I can't stand the TV show, The Combine. The combine that we attend, you can't get any better for a sports writer. Awesome.
We got a lot of people to come over for the podcast.
Yeah, and even though it's Indianapolis in the middle of winter, I got nothing against Indianapolis. I've got everything against winter.
You got me ticketed for Indy again, Steve?
As long as Mark Sanchez isn't there. Otherwise, I'd worry about
that too. But my issue is, you know, everybody just, you know, they can't walk straight because they're so excited about the 40. 40 doesn't mean crap. From what I read, the 40 only means something, believe it or not, for offensive linemen. That's what, from what I've read, the only time you could say, guy ran a 40, he's going to be a good football player, is offensive lineman. Weird as that is. And Tez Johnson, rotten 40. Oh, he's a terrible 40. He's not an NFL player. It doesn't matter. If the 40 mattered, you'd have Olympic gold medalists on every team.
That's a perfect example. When the Bucks are describing Tez Johnson and what attracted him to them, they never talk about his speed. They talk about everything but.
What's Mike Evans' speed? He's a hell of a go route runner, even at 32. Godwin, they admit it. He wasn't that fast.
That's right.
Ibuka, he's not a speedster.
In reality, I think everybody knows, but they don't say it. In reality, everybody knows that the 40 time is totally outdated.
Absolutely.
Because the technology exists to go far deeper.
Yes.
What's his 10? What's his 15?
What's his 5?
What's his first three steps?
Yeah. When does he hit maximum?
All that stuff.
Yes.
So the 40 is made for television.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
And that's fine. I like it. You know, it's just kind of fun to watch. Baker
Mayfield. I'm going to do the 40 in February. I'm going to do it.
40,
gonna,
what, 40 what? 44?
I'm going to challenge Mike Greenberg. Me and Greenberg in a 40.
Oh, that would be great. Race. He would do it, too.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Winner gets a bagel.
All right. So anything else going on at $1? What did you see in the locker room that you like or didn't like?
I continue to see that anytime you start a question with Mayfield where you want him to take a big picture look or something, you're not going to get anywhere.
No.
You're absolutely not going to get anywhere. He's been around too long. He's too savvy for that kind of stuff. Last week it was rat poison. Today it's, you know, we're looking at the next game and then the next game after that. And I respect that, Lee. I respect it. I don't expect him not to say, oh, we got the division handled. We're thinking about the number one seed. You imagine how that would go over with Bulls and Light? Oh, boy. It's a loose locker room. I wish there were a few more guys at their lockers when we go in there.
Running backs.
I mean, that's a constant refrain. You know, where's Levante? Can you?
Levante shows up once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while.
But, I mean, good luck finding Bucky Irving in the locker room. Good luck with White. Good luck with some defensive linemen. Not all, but some of them, they hide.
Vita Vea doesn't want to talk unless they bring him out.
Oh, even if he's there, do you want to talk to him? And I love Vita, just so people understand where I'm coming from. Vita is a bad interview. He barely says anything. It's like pulling teeth to get. He's a nice guy. He's a fun guy. You put a phone or a tape recorder or a microphone in front of his mouth, he clams up. He's for media.
Hey, Steve, speaking of number 50.
Amazing
season.
Is
he a guy?
Amazing year.
That's been around so long that. How do you take a 350-pound guy for granted? But, Steve, he's a critical piece for Bulls. He's
absolutely
just critical.
He's
especially
unbelievable.
About cancer.
If you look at the film on that half sack that he got this weekend, Elijah Roberts cleaned it up, but they shared it. It's a three-man rush. Bulls dropped all these guys. Three-man rush. Vita blows up the double team. I mean, he's just – and over, he's just blowing guys up this year.
Is he the most critical component of the rush defense for you?
He's got to be.
Oh, rush defense.
Rush defense, yeah.
He's got to be. I mean, I think Levante David would say
and
yeah.
And very
absolutely.
Rarely single blocked, right, Steve? Very
not often.
Rarely.
Not often.
Now, here's something. I'm not trying to change the subject. It's about defense, and it's about linebackers. I know Villa's not a linebacker. Pat Kerwin, I was listening to NFL radio.
The guy who said Robert Hainsey has pencil legs and he's never going to make it.
He's not the only guy that said that. By the way, Jags missed him. He didn't play last week. They missed him.
Yeah, he's been hurt, yeah.
Pat Kerwin, they were talking about the Ravens, and I guess the Ravens – have no pass rush. You know, he had some caller who was a Ravens fan talk about the Ravens have to blitz too much because they're trying to generate a pass rush because they're not getting anybody up front to do that. And Pat Kerwin said, if you got a scheme, a way to get a pass rush, someone invariably is going to be left out on the island and he's going to be exposed. He said it never fails. You know, we hear Bulls talk about you need four guys to rush. You don't have four guys to rush. That means we got to bring someone from the secondary. And Kerwin said, you do that, you will always leave someone exposed.
If you don't get there.
If you don't get there. And the four guys up front aren't rushing. And he thinks that's what's wrong with Baltimore's defense, and often that's what's wrong with the Bucs defense. The four guys up front, not all the time, but too often, don't get past
rushing.
You
know, the best part of that job that Bulls did on Mahomes in that Super Bowl, they did it with a four-man rush.
Yes.
Almost the entire time.
Yeah.
All right, Ira, we're out of here, but I have two Bucks things left to run by you guys. First, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, Bill Curry Ford, as in Ford dealerships, as in Bill Curry Ford Field, where the Bucks will be on Monday night in Detroit, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. Shop there first. Be smart and ask for that Ira Kaufman discount with GM Sean Sullivan and Florida's Elite Restoration. Elite, that's the key. Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them first 24/7. They will respond and they'll be out at your property giving you a free evaluation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right. So Ira, a Joe Bucks fan reader sent this to me. Now I've yet to verify its authenticity. However,
is it Greg DeCruz?
No. He sent me some more from another look at it and it looks legitimate, but I just want to say that I don't know 100%. As we record this, but I'm pretty sure I saw it somewhere else. I'm 94.5% sure this is accurate. The Bucks, Ira, are marketing limited tickets remaining for their final five home games with the title and the big headline, "Don't Miss America's Quarterback."
Wow.
And a picture of Mayfield.
Whoa.
Now, Lee and I called Jameis Winston America's quarterback for years. Now the Bucks are throwing this out there. What do you think of that, Lee?
Well, I think it fits Mayfield a lot better than it did Winston. But go ahead, Lee.
I'm chagrined we didn't keep that URL.
It may still be available.
They're jumping on the Mayfield bandwagon. Yeah,
they're selling Baker
as a marketing ploy.
Yeah, America's quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Isn't that funny?
Wow, isn't that something?
If I had seen it, maybe next week we'll ask him what he thinks of the Bucks calling him America's quarterback.
Let me ask that. He'll call me rat poison, but I'll ask him.
I'll send you the graphic. Okay. Maybe you can hold it up.
Yeah, I wonder where they got that moniker from.
Is it on the website, Steve? Have you seen
it? It's not on the Buccaneers.com, but they have a lot of ads that go around that aren't on Buccaneers.com. Okay. I'll send it to you. It doesn't look photoshopped or anything like that. And
can we call this America's podcast?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
There you go.
Last thing, Ari, you were talking about sacks, and you know how Todd Bowles is, as you say. He always finds a way.
Yes.
If I asked you, where do the Bucs rank now in sacks in the NFL?
What do they got, 10?
They've got 16, Ira. Where do they rank? 16 in six games.
They rank fifth.
Tied for seventh, which is right up Todd Bowles' alley.
He always gets between 45 and 50.
He always finds a ranking, 7, 8, 9. All right. So,
well, they had six in that one game, right? So that helped.
Last week, six sacks.
Yeah.
All right. So
they had 10 going into the game.
I would wish you luck on staying undefeated, but that means the Bucks would lose. So I hope you lose on your picks.
Understood, Steve. Understood.
And what a night it will be on Monday if the Bucks pull this off. They will be the unquestioned kings of the NFL. So, Sage, any weekend plans before the game? You got a big dinner plan this weekend? A romantic night out? What do you got?
I think a little Thai food this week. A little Thai. A little yum-yum soup. A little Come on, Steve, with that look. A little coconut soup. Maybe a couple of summer rolls and a Thai salad to tie it up. And no dessert.
What is a Thai salad? Something you throw your Thai on? Or?
It's all in the dressing. It's all in the dress. And remember, I had an apple tonight.
So that's your problem.
Lee's going to have coconut soup as he watches college football.
No.
No coconut soup.
Oh, wait a minute. Lee, you're not far away from the gumbo shop. You'll be at that gumbo shop.
A week from...
Now, are you going Friday to New Orleans or Saturday?
No, Friday.
Look at Lee. Always a day in advance. Unbelievable. Are you worried about an hour and a half flight? You show up on Saturday. On Friday.
No, there's a couple reasons I go, one of which it's New Orleans. I love going to New Orleans. Number two, Saturdays, I'm actually busy on Saturdays. I'm writing stories. So.
I don't want you in Harris Casino until the weekend.
No,
hours.
The last time I went there, I got a sinus infection from all the smoke.
All right, Sage, good luck with your Thai salad and your coconut soup.
Thanks.
And all the things you do.